Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 12th of November. We, of course, weren't with you yesterday, the 11th day of the 11th month, the day that we officially mark Veterans Day, but we are here today, and this is still considered Veterans Day with our Veterans Day program. Preserving the memory of Vietnam War veterans, our focus, Jan Scruggs, founder of the National Vietnam War Memorial, is with us this hour. He will be at the Wisconsin State Capitol tomorrow, announcing a statewide initiative. Wisconsin residents will be asked to help honor and preserve the memory of the 1,244 Wisconsin service people who were killed or missing in action during the Vietnam War. State residents will be asked to help collect and preserve photos of every Wisconsin service member whose name appears on the wall in Washington, D.C. Jan, in 1979, conceived the idea of a Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington. He served in Vietnam as such a young person, 19 years old. He is a wounded and decorated vet. He served in the 199th Light Infantry Brigade of the U.S. Army. He put forward money of his own and, along with other veterans, ultimately persuaded Congress to provide a memorial in prominent location on federal government property. He is now working on another project. He headed the effort to build an education center, and that will show the photos that we have been talking about. Jan Scruggs is with us this hour. Jan, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure to be here on the day after Veterans Day.
Yes, pleasure, and we'll make it 2 days. We're marking it for 2 days in a row. Bryce Kelly is also with us. We'll speak more with Bryce a little bit later. He's a Medford resident who's been active in acquiring photos of Wisconsin Vietnam vets for the project. Bryce, thank you so much for being with us today as well.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, our pleasure. Jan, let's start with you. And if you don't mind, let's start with 1979, I saw for the first time the wall this past year, actually, and was incredibly moved by it, and I remember that war of that age. But I've always wondered about the struggle of this war and the struggle of building that memorial and the education center as well. Tell me why you thought it was an important thing to do and what obstacles you have faced in all of your efforts.
Well, the initial idea was that the military veterans of the war in Vietnam needed some sort of societal recognition, and this memorial seemed to be perfect for that purpose. And it's now 30 years old, a magnificent work of architecture that really touches people. Over 400,000 items have been left there. As time went on, the memorial sort of transformed itself from a healing device for the participants in the war into something different, which is really a more of an educational device. Most of your visitors there are, 15, 16-year-old kids. And so for that reason, we're putting together an education center to teach them a little bit about the conflict over there. But more about the military service and the honorable service of the military veterans.
How difficult was it for you to persuade Congress to provide the Vietnam Memorial, and why was it difficult?
Well, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the lobbying effort in front of Congress was actually remarkably easy. I got the legislation through, the money raised, got the design through the largest competition ever held, and got the memorial built in 3 years, believe it or not.
Goodness.
Yeah, but when we decided to build the education center, it took 3 years to get the legislation through because of people who there was opposition to, putting anything else on the mall and blah, 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 and everybody a small number of people decided to fight this thing. And it only takes a small number of people if they're the right people. So
it also only takes a small number of people sometimes to do something extraordinary, doesn't it?
It does, but things that are important are a great struggle, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
In our lives, was just with a fellow who had finished writing a book at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. He actually finished writing it yesterday. There was one thing he sort of needed to do to kind of complete the book. But he's been working for 12 months on it intensely. So the things that matter many times take an awful lot of work, mm-hmm. like the good work being done now in Wisconsin to find these photographs.
Now, the photographs, and you are involved in that process, Bryce, of collecting photographs from those who died, who are from Wisconsin, who died in Vietnam. Tell me about your efforts. Why this is something that you've decided to devote a lot of time to?
Well, I, for about the past 15 years, I've worked in the public education sector here at, in central Wisconsin, primarily here in Medford, and have was a history teacher and had a very strong just passion for United States history. And my father is a Vietnam veteran, served with the 1st Air Cav from 1966 to 1967. And everything that we did as a family, as a kids, as a family, as a child, really my father's experiences kind of played a role in those things. And I've always had this passion to learn more about his time in service and more about the men that he served with. And I had a chance to go out to D.C. in 2008 to work with the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund through their an education program they had called the Teach Vietnam Network, and met a lot of other teachers, educators who had the same passion I had. And out of that just really developed this idea that I wanted to work to find not only the photographs of the Wisconsin soldiers who were killed in action, but also to find out more about their stories. And so I brought that back to the Medford School District. I brought that back to my classrooms. And a couple of my colleagues and I and our students really started this quest to track down photographs, to find the stories of these men, and to put those out on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund's website and share those with people throughout the nation. And just as we started to find these photographs and as we started to uncover these stories, the amount of goodwill, the amount of healing that started to take place, people from all over the country started to contact us to find out what we were up to and how they could help. And it just really grew kind of as a just the vision of a few, and has really grown to include so many people here in Wisconsin.
How many photos have you been able to collect, Bryce?
Oh, when we started, you know, the initial, we did kind of an initial search, and it was well under 100. It might have only been in the 50 or 60 range of that, you know, had been posted, and now I believe we're up over 600. But we have a very large, you know, number to find, and the interesting part about that is the largest number of photographs still come out of the Milwaukee area, where there's over 200 photos just in the city of Milwaukee that we need to collect, and that's not including any of the suburbs where there's probably 400 of the remaining photographs just in that area.
We'll let people know how they can send photos as well. It's interesting to me, Jan, that particularly this war, maybe in some ways more than other wars, to hear the stories and see the pictures, it's important. I know you've done remarkable things in spearheading the effort to get the wall done, and now you're collecting photos. But one of the things that's compelling to me is to read your story and to think about all the other stories. You were just a kid, for heaven's sake, 19 years old, seeing the most horrible things that a person can see in his life. And then to have all the trauma that surrounded returning from that war and the controversy about the war and all of that, it was, and so many others have similar stories. Can you share a little bit your story? You were so young, weren't you?
Yeah, went in, as a lot of people do, you know, sort of right out of high school. And if you and I were hanging around with a bunch of these youngsters in Afghanistan fighting right now, you'd find an awful lot of them are 19, 20 years old.
I know.
Yeah. I'm looking here. That one of the pictures we recently found was a guy named Richard Lee Anderson of Oshkosh, and he never lived to see his 20th birthday either, right out of high school. Mm. He joined the Marine Corps. So that's what a lot of us did back then. That's what a lot of people still do. And It doesn't always work out the way you'd like to. But for me, I was a combat infantryman. I was wounded once, decorated for gallantry once as well, but saw a lot of bad things. And from that sort of flowed my interest in post-traumatic stress disorder, and from that body of knowledge flowed the desire to get this memorial built, which somehow I was able to do with a lot of help.
You have testified before Congress on post-traumatic stress, haven't you?
I have, indeed, and have written a little bit about it. And back when I was looking into it, it was nobody had really come up with a name for it. But now the psychiatric profession, and it's become very much institutionalized, and it's a pretty sort of normal response to being a witness to a violent event. And it doesn't have to be in a war. I mean, you can be in a bank robbery or see some sort of a fatality, and you're going to be affected by it. So it's not an unusual reaction to stress.
Bryce, was the war something your father talked about, or did he hold it close?
Up until about 2 years ago or so, the war was something that he held very close, and was probably over my 37 years, probably could have summed up his experiences in about a 10-minute conversation. It would ask questions and get a few agitated minutes if I was lucky. And now that I've kind of been on this quest, he's really started to open up more. And a lot of that started in 2009 when we brought the Wall That Heals to Medford, kind of in conjunction with this effort to find the photographs. And the Wall That Heals is the half-scale replica of the wall in D.C. And it was, for me, a very powerful experience to watch the healing not only of my father, but many other veterans who came to the wall, just to kind of unfold in front of my eyes. So it's been a very rewarding experience for me here over the past few years.
And I know that you, Jan, have been with a replica of that wall in many locations all over the country, haven't you?
Yes, it's an amazing thing. There's a museum that goes along with the replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial called The Wall That Heals, and quite an extraordinary opportunity to educate people and for people to meet their local veterans.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me more about this education center. It's to be underground. What location? I know it will include all of these photos. How will they be displayed? And I also know that it will include some of the items. And you mentioned, I think, what did you say, 400,000 items have been left at the wall. Some of those will be in this education center as well.
Yes. Basically, this will be an education center across the street from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial so that it doesn't interfere with the power of the wall. And for those who choose to visit it, this will be an educational experience that will begin with a legacy of service, walking through a corridor showing all of these different wars the nation has fought and the sacrifices of the veterans. This is all about the veterans' sacrifices and the veterans' values. And then from there, you move through corridors showing photographs or showing some of the items people have left at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, magnificent moving things, a watch. One veteran left that was stopped at 10:05, which was the hour that his friend was killed, who was a guy in the platoon, always asking what time it was. Mm. So things like that, they really touch your heart, mm-hmm. but we're not doing it in such a way just to make people feel, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. We're doing it to encourage them to take part in public service in their local communities. So as you go through, you will see these things, and they'll really bring you to a high state of emotion. Then you will get to the final part, which is a very large screen, and you'll see the photographs of the casualties that that died on that day. Then you will also see some of the photographs of the casualties who gave their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. So this will bring you into this high state of emotion. Then when you leave, you'll say, you will get an opportunity. Here's your dog tag of one of these casualties. You can pick the one you want, but you need to agree to do a minimum of 4 hours of volunteer work in your local community. You know, animal shelter, anything, something nice, and then get back to us. Therefore, then these people sort of live on in important ways and non-military ways as well.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Jan, isn't it?
Yes, unlike anything that's been done, and we're looking forward to getting it built, and we know a lot of people have been helping us, and it's a good time to thank a lot of them. A lot of volunteer work's been done in Wisconsin. We only need maybe another 540 photographs, and we'll be done there. But we've got a nice event in the Capitol with, I think, your governor, Lieutenant Governor, tomorrow. So mm-hmm. It should be very nice.
Yeah, that is going to be tomorrow at the Capitol. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary will be there. The special announcement of the statewide initiative asking all residents to help honor and preserve the memory of 1,244 Wisconsin service people who were killed or missing in action during the Vietnam War. There will be a press event in the rotunda of the Wisconsin State Capitol tomorrow at noon tomorrow. We'll welcome your phone calls. I know that if you have seen the wall, and particularly if you were alive during that time, you knew people who served in Vietnam. Many of you knew people who died in Vietnam because 58,000 people died in that war. It's been one that we've tried to understand for a long period of time, and I'm happy that we have Jan Scruggs with us. He is founder and president of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. He was the one who, with other vets, persuaded Congress that a memorial to heal, a memorial for healing, was important. And it paved the way, I have heard, we'll ask Jan to respond to this, for other memorials, like the World War II memorial, that this particular wall paved the way for that. So many of you have been there, and you've touched those names, and the wall has touched you, and now we're talking about what will be the new part of this, which is the Education Center and the photos that are currently being gathered all over this country. Jan Scruggs is with us, and Bryce Kelly, who's a Medford resident whose father served in Vietnam. He's been active in acquiring photos of Vietnam veterans for the project. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And if you'd like to leave messages for us on our Facebook page, where we also have information on that page about where you can send photos, that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Before we go to our many phone calls, Bryce Kelly, I wanted to ask you, as you go about the process of collecting these photos, somebody is listening right now who has a photo, I'm sure, and would like to get it to this education project. What do they do? Bryce?
Oh, I'm sorry. A couple things you can do. One, people are welcome to go out and they can actually upload that that photo online at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial page. That's www.vvmf.org. Otherwise, a lot of times people have just sent me the photographs. We've collected a lot of originals over the years, and I've scanned them and then sent those originals back to those people. And sometimes people have just donated them, and we've collected them here, and we've started to archive them with our local historical society. Depending on what their request is. The other option is people can email those photos to me as well.
And how would they do that, Bryce? Do you want to give that on the air?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You can send the photos just to my attention, Bryce Kelly. You can, through the mail, my address is
W5294.
W5294. Jolly Avenue.
Jolly?
Correct, Jolly.
Okay.
Medford, Wisconsin.
Okay.
54451.
Okay.
Otherwise, people are welcome to email them to me at brkell, so it's B-R-K-E-L-L, at tds.net.
tds.net.
TangoDeltaSierra.net, correct.
Okay. And we have all that on our Facebook page as well. Let's go to some phone calls. Michael in Milwaukee. Hello, Michael. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am. I can barely hear you, Kathleen.
Well, we can hear you, so carry on.
Okay, real good. Well, the reason I'm calling is I would just like to thank Jan for, getting this wall started, getting it built, and getting continued support for the wall. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I've been to the wall a couple of times. I can't say the amount of impact and how that affected me to get to the wall, actually see names of people that I knew that were killed when they were over there or when I was over there, and also seeing names of friends of mine. In fact, a good friend of mine, Jan, I guess, said he was with the 199th Light Infantry Brigade, and a good friend of mine served with the 199th Light Infantry Brigade. His name was Brian Perlowitz. He was from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was 20 years old when he died. And he died March 22nd, 1968. I saw his name on the wall. In fact, I was in country at the same time he was. I was with the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment. We weren't too far apart from each other at the time. I had hoped I'd be able to hook up with him and see him, and that never happened. I guess that's about it.
And you've obviously carried him with you. That is so striking to me how the people who were gone have been... Their memory has stayed with veterans, and this is true of other veterans as well, World War II, World War I veterans, for all of your lives, Michael, hasn't it? He's always been with you.
Yes, he does.
And Jan, you found that true of vets, of yourself as well, particularly of yourself, huh?
Yes, really the Vietnam Veterans Memorial is one of these places where there's sort of... a communication, a bond between the living and the dead, and in a good way, this is where people are remembered. And yes, when someone leaves our life, whether it's in a war or in some other way, we always remember them. But it's a little more traumatic in a war, and that's been pretty much verified for a long, long time.
And Jan, was there something particularly traumatic about this war?
Actually, there was something particularly traumatic about this war, which was that people's emotion, everybody was kind of freeze-dried, because when we came back from Vietnam, so many people said, you immoral baby killers, I can't believe you went over there to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
So after we heard that sort of thing a couple of times, we just sort of went into a shell and didn't really deal with our Vietnam service. And then so later on we did, and I think most of us are sort of proud we went over there. I don't think that, the whole idea was to separate the war from the warrior, because really, most people don't think that the Vietnam War was actually worth it, and that would include most of the veterans too. But that really doesn't matter. The idea is to recognize service, unselfish service to the country, because we need more of that, and not just in the military. We need it in the nation, and that's what we're all about.
Thank you, Michael, for the call. Richard in Fort Atkinson, hi.
Well, I agree, and I think it is important to honor the sacrifice of our veterans and to give it very serious regard. But lost in all of this is the counterpoint that this war was a war based upon massive lies by three presidents and the saturation bombing massacre of 3.5 million Vietnamese, Cambodians, and Laos. And the question is, if you look solely at the military, where does the honorable service shift into war crimes? And I think perhaps one might think of a starting point is the examination of the conduct of Westmoreland and the Defense Department, along with our State Department and our president. Yet, in all of this sentimental regard, we lose our critical judgment.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is sentimental regard. Do you think that we have had a thorough investigation of all that went wrong, of the way that war was waged, Jan?
The caller really does make a good point. The historians and others really do look at this war. The military needs to take good. We really need some way to sit down and take a look not only at this war, but these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. How were the decisions made? Why were they carried out in the way they were? And what's going on here? So that's one issue, and that's for other people. That's not my job.
Right.
Groups of historians, Congress, and others, that's their job. We're here to honor the people who serve, and the other things are to be done by other people.
Yeah. Let's go next to Lowell in Mondovi. Hi, Lowell.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering if there's any effort to memorialize the efforts of groups like Veterans Against the War and the brave people like Senator Kerry, who testified against the war and risked his political career. Is there any effort in your effort to remember these people?
Sure. Everybody's a part of the story, and Senator Kerry is one of the people who's been the most helpful with this entire endeavor. Magnificent American, good, hardworking member of the U.S. Senate. And yes, to tell the story of the Vietnam War, part of that story is the fact that this was the most divisive event in the history of our country, with the exception of the Civil War. So you can't get away from that.
Our number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Do we, and this is anything but an effort in sentimentality. This is a huge project. Those memorials really are healing, and they bring to mind a time in place and in a sense of history. Do they need to do more than that? And do they, that phrase, that sentimentality that one of our callers was using, struck me as inappropriate, really, for an examination of what it is that you have done. But do these efforts also prompt the deepest of questions, the deepest of soul searching about war, Jan, about when we go and how we fight and what conflicts we should be engaged in?
Well, by and large, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial really set a different trend. This memorial shows the cost of these conflicts. This memorial is there right on the mall, right near the White House, right near the Congress. And whenever the people start thinking about going to war and in Iraq or other places, it's always there to remind them that maybe we have to do this, but let's remember there'll be a cost to be paid, and that cost will be the lives of our citizens. That cost will be our prestige as a nation, and these are things that have to be weighed, and they are weighed by the Congress, and I hope they do an even better job in the future of finding ways to sort of resolve these conflicts peacefully.
Bryce, how did you bring all of these issues into the classroom? How do you teach the Vietnam War?
it's one of those complicated questions. But I think what we tried to really focus on was the Jan was just kind of talking about the cost of war, and when we talked about the Vietnam War, we really talked about that true cost, the lives, and to sit down with families and to sit down with these photographs, the students really had a chance to learn that you know, when you go out to the wall, you look at names, and I think what they really figured out was behind the name there's stories, and the stories are the of the, you know, these 18, 19, 20 year old men and women, and then to all of a sudden see a stopping point that, and a realization that their stories, their lives ended, you know, at 18, 19, 20, that there's this huge gap in the historical timeline of these lives that were left, you know, unfilled, I guess maybe would be the way to put it. And so we tried to look more at the personal side of the war. We did try to fit it into the global, you know, perspective of the Cold War and you can get into all of the details of the domino theory and all these other events. But to really to gather the understanding of how this war not only you know, tore Vietnam apart, but almost tore the United States apart in terms of those who were for it and those who were against it, and then to look at the lives of these families, it's it was kind of a different dynamic. And I don't know. I think there's people that do teach it that way. I don't know if the Vietnam War is definitely taught as much as it should be. I think it's a part of history. I think that sometimes because it was such a divisive time in American history that I think sometimes the emotions are still pretty raw, and sometimes it's forgotten about in the classroom. And this was really a chance for us to bring those emotions to the forefront and to really try to do some healing in our own community.
Have you found that to be the case, Jan, that we're ignoring the war?
It's very difficult to teach the war, but there are ways to do it in a balanced fashion, and that's one of the things that we've been involved in, is to find ways to help teachers teach about the Vietnam War so that everybody's point of view gets in front of the students, everyone from the Quakers to the most sort of pro-war, kind of Cold Warrior people, so that everyone sees that there are so many different opinions on this. And this is the crazy thing about democracy, is everybody kind of gets their say, and that's why I'm glad to live here. But I've got to run off to the airport and go to Wisconsin, so we'll see you again soon, I think.
Okay, thank you, Jan, very much. Thanks for being with us. Our Jan had to go. He's leaving. He said, I didn't expect him to be going to the airport. He's going to be on his way to Wisconsin. He is speaking tomorrow. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary is welcoming Jan, the founder of the National Vietnam War Memorial, the WAL, president of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, for a special media announcement of a statewide initiative asking all Wisconsin residents to help honor and preserve the memory of the 1,244 Wisconsin service people who were killed or missing in action during the Vietnam War. This will be in the rotunda of the Wisconsin State Capitol at noon. Bryce Kelly will remain with us. He's a Medford resident, and he has been active in acquiring photos of Wisconsin Vietnam veterans for the project, and we'll be welcoming more of your phone calls as well. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. And we'll also be putting information. We have some of the information on our Facebook page as to where you can put your photos, how they can go to the right place. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we continue with phone calls for Bryce now, who is with us. Bryce Kelly, Medford resident. His father is a Vietnam veteran, and Bryce he's a history teacher and has been acquiring photos of Vietnam vets for this project. Will in DeForest is our next caller.
Yes,
hi, Will.
Thank you, and I commend your guests for doing what they're doing. But I think we also have to look at the permanent militarization of America. I was in Vietnam in 1966 with the 2nd 27th Infantry. Most of the people in my company were killed or maimed. And I happened to see an article a couple of days ago, and the topic was the permanent militarization of America, and it speaks of how we've ignored Eisenhower's warning to the peril of the nation because of this. And it really bothers me when we get so much support from civilians for the troops, even more than the troops themselves. And in doing this, it is furthering that militarization of this country. And we should be at a stage now, as many wars as we've had, to where we should start seeking another means to settle differences. And until this happens, we will be continuously building wars and memorializing veterans for being killed in wars, and it doesn't make sense.
There's a lot of what you say that's deeply true. Will, have you had a chance to be to the wall, at the wall? What do you think about the importance of these kinds of memorials for healing?
I haven't been able to go to it. I have intended to go to it. I've been in D.C., but I know too many people on it, and it brings back too many bad memories, things that I can't deal with, even at this stage of my life. So I haven't gone to it.
Bryce, would you like to comment?
You know, from my own standpoint, I didn't understand the power of the wall until I actually visited. And I always wanted to go and visit myself, and I kind of promised myself that I wouldn't go until my father went. And he actually visited the wall for the first time in October of 2001, just a month after the terrorist attacks. And after he went, I was like, okay, I need to go. And I wanted him to go there first, and went and spent some time there and really felt that power. And then I was out there again in 08 and was part of a memorial, was able to lay a wreath at the apex of the wall and just, again, feel that power. And so that really led to this want to bring that healing power to Medford. And so when we brought the Wall of Heals to Medford in 2009, I wasn't sure what kind of a reaction we were going to get. And we actually had people travel from all over the country to come be a part of the wall. One of my dearest stories was a woman from Tennessee who had a terminal form of cancer, and it was on her bucket list to visit the wall. And when she found out that we were collecting photographs, she happened to be from Wisconsin originally. Her brother was on the wall, and her family actually flew to Medford to come visit the Wall of Heals, not, you know, just that half-scale replica. And to see them heal and to see them just be able to remember and celebrate the life of their brother was just that powerful healing moment. And so it's from my experiences, the only thing I can say is that I just encourage people to go. I don't have that touch of being in the war, but sitting down with these families over the years and listening to their stories and watching the healing take place as they, I think the right way to put it is, as we celebrate these lives, is just I still get phone calls here now and emails 3 years later, just about what this event meant to people.
On the other hand, Will, I can completely understand, having lost so many of your buddies and had such a horrendous experience there, how you, it may be too much to bear.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you. I need that. I've tried, and I tried going to the one when it was here in Madison a few years ago. But my whole company was lost, and these were people that I had been with for quite a while. It wasn't like going over as a replacement and not knowing anyone. And I think, in a sense, many people do things and the intent is good, but it helps to build up that militaristic idea that we must continue to go and fight wars. And I think you get a lot of support out of it, people doing things that I think they really don't understand the depth of it when they say, I support the troops. And I just can't understand how we continue to go and fight these wars when history has proven it's not the answer. And I find solace in the Veterans for Peace, because we are a group that have been in war, most of us. Many of them are decorated combat veterans, and we understand that we see both sides, not just from the death of our people, but the death of the innocent people that we kill. And thanks again for this program.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for your call. Christine in Madison. Hi.
Hello. I wanted to say, well, as somebody who was in the Peace Corps from 65 to 67, And having left the country before the war had become such a big deal, and coming back to everything that was in turmoil in 1967 was quite a shock. And as I've thought about, I have been at the wall, and I find that it's just in its simplicity, it just hits you of the quiet and the honor and what it meant to those people. And as I have thought over time about how we treated the soldiers who came back, I was against the war, but we didn't separate the soldier from the policy. And they also served, and those of people in the peace movement, not all of them behaved well either or could be honorable when you talk about maybe terrible things soldiers did. So I think, you know, we're rethinking this, but that had to be a profound experience and heartbreak for those soldiers who returned. And I'm sorry I'm taking some time. I want to say something else, that I advised students for many years at the UW-Madison campus. And in talking to soldiers who returned from Iraq and Afghanistan, you realize how much we missed by not really thinking about that. These people come back. They're going to school. They're learning languages. They want to understand cultures and things better. And we've sold a lot of soldiers short by just looking at the combat and not separating them from the policy, because a lot of them have very good thoughts about policy. Mm. And two more things. Two great books are The Things They Carried.
Yes, excellent book.
And the other one was Moranis' book on They Marched Into Sunlight.
Yes,
which put
yes.
the two things side by side. And
yeah, it's also a fabulous book. Thank you. Thanks, Christine. Bryce, do you want to respond?
I think the caller made a wonderful point. Just the fact that, you know, this war did divide the country, and you had people who were for it and people who were against it, but the wall gives you this opportunity to really bring people back together. And the Memorial Fund did a movie a few years back called The Heal a Nation. And I really think that's what the point of the memorial is. And I also think that, you know, she made a great point, too, about we need to separate sometimes, all the time, the policy and the soldier. These men and women in uniform are serving our country, the greatest country in the world. And it's a call to service. It's a call to duty. And, you know, we need to find ways to support them, not only when they're in the service, but also, you know, when we come home. And Jan talked about post-traumatic stress. It's still an issue today. We have a huge issue with suicide right now going on with our current Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans. And so it's a society, I guess it goes back to also what Jan talked about. We have this cost of war. And yes, we can put that in dollars and cents, but we still also need to look at the cost of lives and you know, the other benefits that we need to provide these soldiers when they do return.
Thanks very much, Christine, for your call. Colleen in West Bend, hi.
Hello?
Yes, Colleen, go right ahead.
Yes, I was just going to comment that our Congress needs to be educated about war, because less than 50% of them ever served. And I think they ought to go to some of the classes, and it ought to be a requirement that they go to the wall. We now outsource even part of our military. Our people aren't affected as much by war as they were in the past. We don't see the dead coming home in their caskets. And it's out of sight, out of mind. And I guess I'm just really upset with the way our Congress thinks or appears to think there's nothing wrong with going to war at the drop of a hat.
Thank you, Colleen, very much for your call. Joe in Harper's Ferry, hi.
Hi. I'm not a veteran, but I was a roommate with a veteran in 70, 71 in college. He'd been a door gunner. And he seemed like a real nice guy, generally, but late at night when we were alone and stuff, there was a lot of fear in him. And we never talked about the war too much, but he gave me the direct impression that, and it stuck with me, that the perception we have as a general public of war and the military is not what the result of it is. We see economic and political results but the result on him as an individual was incredible. And it, excuse me, it scared the hell out of me, honestly.
Hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bryce. I think the war scared the hell out of a lot of people, don't you, Bryce?
You know, it war scares the hell out of me. It's but I guess at the end of the day, I'm very thankful that there are men and women who wear the uniform and walk a post, and all we can do as a nation is continue to support them.
Yeah. Tell us again now what specifically you're looking for. You have how many photos of Wisconsin vets who died you've not been able to locate? You're looking for how many?
We're still looking for just over, I believe, 550 photos or so, right in that range. Then the number changes as people sometimes find the information themselves and upload them. But really our goal is to help Jan and the Memorial Fund find all of the photographs of all of the Wisconsin soldiers. And there's actually what the great thing about this is as I've been working on my end, I've run into people from other parts of the state as well who are working on their own effort as well. And one of the gentlemen that I ran into is a gentleman by the name of Steve Conto, who's a Vietnam vet, and he's over in Green Bay. And he's got a project called the Caring Bridge Project going, where he's actually traveled around the state and around the country to find the graves of all of our Wisconsin fallen soldiers. And so he's been posting those pictures of the grave sites or the headstones. And so there's a lot of wonderful people working on this, and I think it's just a powerful project.
I'm sure. And once again, give us the web address, and we'll give more addresses on our Facebook page, but the web address if somebody has a photo.
Sure. If you want to upload your photo directly to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, you can do that at www.vvmf.org. The great place about doing that is you also get the opportunity to post a remembrance, so you can post a story with your photograph, and I strongly encourage you to share your story.
Yes.
Some of our fallen soldiers have more than one photograph out there and more than one posting, and it's just really a powerful place for you to share your experience and share your life event with this fallen soldier.
Thank you, Bryce, so much for being with us. Our thanks to Bryce Kelly, Medford resident. Thanks to Brett Jaspers and Rhonda Fanning for producing this program. Sometimes the discussion calls for a song. Billy Joel.
Remember Charlie, remember Bagel, they left their childhood on every acre. And who was wrong? And who was right? It didn't matter in the thick of the fight. We held the day. And the night seemed to last.